SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Well, as I very frequently under these circumstances say, unable to call it a good morning. And anybody that's been listening to the replay from yesterday is well aware of the news from the morning on Monday that John Asher, taken from his family, taken from the racing industry, from the family of Churchill Downs, from the community of Louisville at large, and from the world at large, because he was a authentic citizen of the world, a generous and loving and giving individual who enhanced anything and everything that he came in contact with. His professional responsibilities, his social, his personal, everything about John Asher was glistening as a person. Endlessly cheerful and full of joy and mirth. The kind of person that upon introduction made you a friend. It just instantly. And a person that took an interest in everyone in his sphere of influence, and that included, of course, everything to do with the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs, but then beyond that, everyone that came around, came through. I would get to Churchill over these last 15 years, even earlier when I came to Churchill with the barbecue, and I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was, but you know, I knew enough to introduce myself to John Asher, even before I was doing anything in racing media. And invariably, for the two-week run at the Downs for Derby coverage, he would come on as early in the 2 weeks as was possible, because the demands on his time and attention were just endless, and he had time for everyone and went out of his way for everyone. Was a mentor to countless young people that came through the gates at Churchill as employees in the communications department, and I'm sure everywhere else. Darren Rogers will join us first this morning, and I only have 3 hours to offer those that want to say how they felt about John and the shock and devastation of this death is profound. I You know, I was in New Orleans when Tom Benson passed. Tom Benson was sick, and it was one of those passings that you know is going to come. This has just knocked everyone off stride. And I can't compare. There isn't anything. I can't compare this response to anything appropriate. That it just shows, as an example of how anyone wants to conduct themselves, so that when you are gone, people miss you more than they can appropriately express. Darren's going to join us now momentarily, and it's going to be hard for everyone. Yesterday you could hear, starting with, I'm sure, with Bob Baffert, who was as stunned as I was, and then Marty McGee, who just managed to get through. And in addition to Darren, Dale Romans will come back this morning and be one of the first horsemen to express their feelings. Billy Reed will join us from Louisville, the community. There's people who may only have gone to Churchill occasionally here and there, but who appreciated John for his contributions in the city. Tom Leach is going to join us. Nick Zito, Shug McGahey, Jeremy Plonk, who's worked with and known John 25 years. Richard Klein as well. The Klein family, one of the first families of the Ville. And Richard's parents and Richard and his family. There are so many friends, so many people that it would be impossible to get everyone. Darren Rogers joins us, and yesterday was a impossibly difficult day. I suppose they will get less impossible with each passing day, but with the fall meet not far away and Breeders' Cup coming to Churchill, there'll be endless appreciations of John Asher, Darren Rogers. As I wrote you yesterday, I don't even know what to say other than so sorry that we've lost John.
Thank you, pal. It's been an incredibly difficult 24 hours, as you can imagine. And it's just an empty void around here. A lot of tears being shed, and a lot of laughs, too. In fact, John would be upset with me right now without coming on your show mentioning that it's 249 days until Kentucky Derby 145, and the forecast is sunny and 75. That was always John's staple, and he was just a consummate pro. And one of the kindest souls, you know, not just at a, you know, not just at the racetrack, and as you said, the entire Louisville community. This is a tremendous, tremendous loss, and there's a lot of people hurting out there. And I thank you for doing this show today, and I'm honored to talk about my friend.
You obviously, being in racing communications, even before you came to Churchill, had dealings and had, you know, come to Derby and Breeders' Cups. Your early encounters with John and then coming to...
You know, I might not even been in the game if it weren't for John.
There you go.
I was... This is going back to 1994, where I grew up in Southern California, going to the racetracks on weekends with my father at San Anita and Del Mar and Hollywood Park, and was a tremendous fan of the sport. You know, had that bug like many of us do. And I had a real interest in broadcast journalism, and I was the sports director of my college radio station at Saddleback Junior College. And I was dating a girl at the time that was going to Long Beach State, and she saw a flyer posted on a billboard on campus for an internship at Churchill Downs for the 1994 Breeders' Cup. And a couple of us applied. You're going to have another one on the show. Jeremy Plonk. Jeremy Plonk and I were the two selected to become interns. And I was all set. This would have been in, August of 94. I was set to transfer to Cal State Fullerton at the start of, the new year. And while at this internship, and it shows you how much mediums have changed. You remember back in the day, this is before the internet, but many major cities, racing cities, Los Angeles, here in Louisville, I'm sure it was the same in other locales that had interest in racing. You'd get the results by listening to local radio stations. Maybe at the top and the bottom of the hour, you might get something like, hey, this is Darren Rogers coming to you live from Churchill Downs. We have the results of the fourth race, yada, yada, yada. And it was a broad, kind of a radio results stringer and a broadcast results coordinator. And while I was interning out here, John Asher was still working for WHAS Radio. And the radio results stringer position out in Southern California became open. And while I had many, demo tapes from my sports directing, sportscasts or whatever at the college radio station, I had nothing of the sort of doing a radio result. And John Asher, because this is exactly who John Asher was, he reached out to me and said, hey, kid, why don't you come with me down to my radio station, which was WHAS at the time. We'll go into a studio. We'll cut a demo tape of you doing race results. And John would offer, helpful information. Maybe you want to try it this way or et cetera. And anyway, we probably spent 2-3 hours there cutting together some 30-minute and 30-second clip that was used, and anyway, I got the job. And who would think that, working in a publicity office, I worked my way up, etc., but that we would end up working together again here at Churchill Downs. That was about 10 years ago now that when I reunited and joined Churchill. So, that was in 1994, and that was the soul, the epitome of John Asher. Anybody that's ever come into him, run into him, John would do anything for you. He was such a positive spirit, always made time for everybody, was so engaging. I get caught up in the heat of the battle here at Derby. I admire John and so wish that I could emulate John in terms of his ability to just make time for everybody. And he would do anything for anyone. So he's going to be greatly missed. But, he was very special and important to me.
There's only a few people I always would, with every time he would visit on the air with me, I always referred to him as the living embodiment of Matt Wynn. And
oh, absolutely.
The historian in him and the caretaker, really, is probably a good description. The keeper of the flame, so to speak,
We're stewards of the Derby. He always drove that home to me. We're stewards of this great race, this great racetrack. He was Matt Wynn. You know, John idolized Colonel Matt Wynn. He had a big photo of Matt Wynn in his office. And those that don't know, Matt Wynn was the former general manager who would later become president of Churchill Downs in the early 1900s, and really is the single figurehead that helped get the Kentucky Derby on the national scale that it is today. And John just idolized him. He was a real Matt Wynn was a real kind of Barnum and Bailey circus type of promoter. You know, he was a real promoter. And John just loved those old stories about Matt Wynn, and he treasured them. And you know, Kevin Flannery, our current president, and I were chatting yesterday, and he was, you know, if you had to make a Mount Rushmore of Churchill Downs, how's John not on there?
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah. Oh no.
And
there's no doubt.
He's been the face. In fact, Kevin Flannery loves telling the stories about. You know, everybody thought Kevin worked for John. You know, everybody in the town. I mean, just it's John. John was the face of Churchill Downs, not just you know, not just here in Louisville, but around the country, and with so many horsemen. He loved the horsemen. I mean, just loved combing the backside in the mornings and shaking hands and. Welcoming people, asking them if, you know, do you ever need anything? Just give me a shout. He really was the soul and the fabric of this place.
Well, the kind of individual that's irreplaceable is an easy word, but it. And
they're completely applicable in this situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've often said nobody's irreplaceable. Nobody's irreplaceable. John might be the absolute asterisk.
Yeah.
He, in fact, the absolute asterisk. Nobody can ever replace John. He was such a tremendous ambassador for the Derby and Churchill Downs and the entire sport. And just keep his wife Dee in the thoughts and prayers, and his three daughters, Heather, Emma, and Aaron. And he loved his two grandkids. I mean, that really, his grandkids put a extra, he used to tell us that, you know, there was, the Derby actually might have got a notch lower. And WKU, you know, he was a big Western Kentucky alumni and just a tremendous supporter and fan of theirs. He always said that the Derby and WKU, the love might have just gotten knocked down a tick with the birth of those grandkids, Cameron and Caden. He loved when Cameron was born shortly after the 2013 Kentucky Derby. It was the year that Orb won. And forever, you know, Cameron's forever known around here as Little Shug.
Little Shug.
You know, that was a nickname that John, and John just revered, you know, numerous horsemen. And you and I chatted via text, but he just had the utmost respect for what they do and the patience, and he just loved Shug McGahee, Bill Mott, adored Wayne Lucas, Pat Day. He just, there's so much, but you know, that's not fair to others, because he really felt that way for nearly, you know, any horseman he encountered. And but John was, you know, John was a tireless worker around here, and he always, you know, he was always the first, usually the first car in and the last to leave, that type of guy. And you often had to, you know, kind of shove him out of the office. And You know, John would never take vacations. That's the ironic part of this. John and I, along with Kevin Kirstein, who works in our publicity office, we do a local radio show here in Louisville, Inside Churchill Downs, on Friday nights, and we did our show on Friday, and John was headed for the week to Orlando to spend a family vacation, which is such a rare, I mean, John just never took days off. He always had to force, come on, John, we're going here, here, here. You need to do something like that. And so John was going to spend an entire, you know, week with the family down at Disney World. And they got on the plane and went to Orlando on Sunday. And John wasn't feeling well. And, anyway, he ended up having a heart attack and passed away. And it's just, you just please keep his girls in your thoughts and prayers, because can only imagine. I know how difficult it is for a lot of us around here, but I can only imagine what it's like for them at this difficult time.
Well, we'll pass along, of course, all the details as they're in the arrangements as they come together.
I spoke with Dee yesterday, and she indicated that a service most likely won't occur until sometime next week at the earliest. John, you know, she's telling me, you know, John was an organ donor, and I said, of course he was. Of course he was.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, if anybody gets any one of his organs, they're going to be lucky to have them. They probably get a big booming smile, a hearty laugh, and instant passion. Because that was John.
Well, they'll be just an ongoing series of appreciations and the start of the fall meet and leading up toward November and Breeders' Cup, and undoubtedly John's there'll be a companion race to go with the Matt win. And
yeah, we're going to talk with the family. We of course want to properly honor John and get their thoughts on what they'd like to see. But there's no question, John will be memorialized here in proper fashion. And I still can't believe we're talking about this.
Everybody, Darren, said the same thing. Nobody can process this as a fact. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult, pal.
I appreciate this, and had to start this with you.
I'm honored that you asked to start, and I look forward to listening to the remainder of the program and hearing some great tales about my friend.
Absolutely. Darren Rogers, Derby Media, John Asher. We're going to continue. We'll take the break here. You're going to hear from Shug McGahee and Dale Romans and Nick Zito and more. You're going to hear from media professionals who worked with John Asher alongside or across across the airwaves. John gave up his own broadcast career to join Churchill Downs in 97. But he and I very frequently would talk about broadcasting, and he had about as great a voice and as impactful a cadence and a presence, and that's a gift that doesn't you can imitate it for a certain period of time, but you can't deliver it just out of natural unless it's been blessed upon you. And John Asher was blessed upon all of us. I mentioned yesterday with Marty McGee that, you know, very frequently John would have to trot himself out in front of media and respond to some things that were hard to address, and he certainly did it with a particular style, and to some degree, I'm you can hear some laughter in my voice. John was a noble corporate soldier, undoubtedly, and at the same time, you could frequently tell that he was responding, but he empathized with those that weren't agreeing with a policy or with a practice, and he made you respect whatever decision or whatever communique that he was delivering. It's not an enviable position at times, undoubtedly. So many people reaching out to be included, and we'll hear from as many of them as possible. John Asher. Stay with us. It's a sad circumstance, but a life that is easy to celebrate. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why you didn't wake up this morning, because you didn't go to bed. You were watching the whites of your eyes turn red. The calendar on your wall is ticking. The days off, you've been reading some old letters. You smile and think how much you've changed. All the money in the world couldn't buy back those days. You call back the heavens and the sun burns into your eyes. You watch a plane flying across a big blue sky.
We're back at the races, bottom of hour one, as we pay tribute to John Asher, who absolutely loved music of all kinds, had as eclectic a taste, and I certainly think of myself as someone who likes all different kinds of music. John very regularly would send out links to songs and things that he heard, and of course, I've said before, of terrestrial radio, WFPK in Louisville, as good as there is, and when I'm in the Ville, I turn to FPK, and that's the kind of music that John enjoyed, and he went to shows and sought out at all times new music and. He was a great source for, for new artists and things you might not have heard of. Dale Romans joins us, first of many horsemen today, to talk about this interaction and friendship with John Asher. Dale, this one just too sad.
Yeah, it was a sad day for racing, for Louisville, for Kentucky, for all people. I mean, this, you're talking about a man that I never heard ever say a bad word about anybody. And you never heard anybody say a bad word about John. So we got the call yesterday morning, and it was very shocking. I just did his radio show Friday. He sounded good. Talked to him beforehand. He said he was feeling good. I guess he was going on vacation. You just never know.
I didn't realize you'd been on with him and Darren on Friday, but I can mention that Bob Baffert yesterday too. Bob had just seen him at the ceremony. When he was in town, Baffert in town, days ago, he said the exact same thing, that he looked good, he so forth, but.
He had his house scare about a year ago. And,
that's right.
And John
that's
had done right. a lot to work on himself, weight, get healthy. And he told me at the end of Churchill we were talking about it. He said he felt as good as he ever had. So, but that's the kind of person you can't replace in a community or in this industry. It will always be a void there that a person cannot be replaced.
Dale, as a horseman, and there's a part of this that the general public probably doesn't necessarily know or have any exposure to, but there's a give and take between the backstretch community and management. And you know, there's been over the years, you know, any number of at racetracks across the country, there's always somebody that the horseman can go to when there's an issue or there's something that they need. And you know, John seemed you know, certainly as the right kind of personality that, you know, even in under difficult circumstances, tried to make things work for everybody on the backstretch and throughout the, you know, throughout the plant.
He had that calming personality, and you know, he had a way about to put out, he could put out fires better than anybody. And you know what else he always did was very happy to expose and promote people coming up in the game to Churchill. And he would always go after the stories that were positive and help the person along in their career. And you're right. If you had a problem with Churchill, you could go talk to John, and he at least get back to you and let you know, yes, we can do this, or you're right, or he tell you what you're wrong. He is one of those guys who could tell you that you weren't right, and you didn't mind if you agreed with him. He just was a special person.
We're going to talk to Richard Klein, for instance, someone who grew up in Louisville and you know, inherited the passion for the game from his late parents, and Billy Reed worked and was close friends for the community. Dale, and you as someone who grew up, you know, within, you know, within eyeshot of the racetrack, as a, you know, community loss, that part of it is difficult, because the relationship between someone like a John Asher and various charities and community organs, those, you know, those aren't just instantaneous. They're organic.
Kind of that has to grow over time. Like I said, I don't know. John and I did some charity stuff together, and he was always the best. And he would, you know, he was just the voice of our community in Louisville. And, you know, anytime there was an issue, they just turned to John. You put John on the TV and everything, everyone would listen. My mother called me yesterday as soon as she heard. And, you know, she knows racing through me a little bit, but doesn't work on the backside, but just loved John Asher from the time he was doing the news before he was working at Churchill Downs. And she says, this is just devastating for our city. Everyone felt like they knew John, whether you knew him or not. The kind of person you see on TV a few times, you see him in the community, and you think you know him for his whole life.
Exactly. That's a perfect description. And he took an interest to me. That's one of the things that you could say. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, on a personal note, there's everybody other than my mother that wanted me to win a Derby more than John. And I hate to think if it ever happens that John's not going to be here. After every Derby, he'd make sure he called or came by. And, you know, I've run it 9 times, and then it's great to get there, but if you don't win, you lose. And it's not a good feeling, but John made you feel better. He would always call or come by, say, there's a Derby out there for you, just keep playing the game. And that's, you know, it's hard to think that he's not going to be there doing that anymore.
Hey, but
if he told you something, when John would say, you got a Derby, hundreds of people would tell me that a lot. But when John said it, for some reason, you believed it. I think you know what I'm talking about. When he said something, you believe what he said.
Absolutely. Well, and when I would ask him for his pick every year, and he would maybe float through about 3 or 4 picks, and everyone was colored by what it would mean to the individuals involved. That, right. You know, that the somebody who's who has a derby with their name on it. And Shug, probably, who's going to join us in a little bit. Shug, was a perfect example of that. And you, and there's any number of people. And then he would also appreciate what it meant to, Pat Day just responded. He's traveling to Colorado, but when he would always refer to Pat Day's win and Lynn Whiting and the horsemen and the connections that were part of Derby lore.
He truly believed in the Derby gods. And that's what we talked about yesterday. It might have been a little divine intervention in Alan Jerkins. I might have gotten a little help. So if I'm lucky enough to get back to the Derby, maybe I'll get a little extra help.
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dale.
But, Phil for his family. He's a great family man on top of everything else. And I hope they're doing all right.
Well, it'll be very difficult for a good long while. We're going to continue to hear from friends and colleagues and people whose life was impacted by John Asher. And Dale, when we talked yesterday, the show started yesterday. We were celebrating Travers Day, and it ended on. With the news of John's passing, and I had to bring you back, knowing how, how much.
Well, I appreciate you calling me, and there's got a lot of great people. I'm sure want to give good tributes to John.
Dale Romans, thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Dale Romans. Let's take a timeout, and Pat Day is between gates, and I'm going to have Richard Klein join us now. And I think we'll probably get Pat before his connecting flight. And Pat, just among the countless shocked and saddened. Back after this, Richard Klein, whose family is synonymous with good works in and around Louisville, and a presence at the racetrack, the Downs, for many, 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 many years, and certainly have been there when John Asher greeted Bert and Elaine Klein and Richard in the winner's circle, and that's an aspect that everyone will miss. Richard Klein joins us next. We pay tribute to John Asher.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories? and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Wait all night. She's bound to run him up. Invested in nothing at any height. He reaches on the garden sword in out. She curls her lips on a bob. I don't know if I'm dead or not. If you ain't.
We're back at the races, about 15 to the top of the hour, and really the one of the first people I thought of when I knew we would have to pay appropriate tribute to John Asher today, the Klein family, and undoubtedly the Klein home is filled with trophies that John Asher presented to Bert and Elaine and to Richard. And Richard's on his way with his son to college, but I greatly appreciate joining us and adding his voice to those in appreciation of John Asher. Richard, I know that for people in the Ville, this is just a devastating piece of news.
Yes, I was out doing errands last minute for my son yesterday. We're off driving him to Michigan to graduate school, and when I got the news, it kind of took the wind out of me. But first, I would like to pass my condolences along to the Asher family, along with another member of the Churchill community passing away over the weekend. Scotty Harris, who ran the Gold Room for many years at Churchill Downs, passed away on one of his favorite days of the year, Travers Day. Not only did we lose a good friend in John, but also in Scotty Harris, who I happen to know real well.
Mm.
It's a tough couple of days for Churchill Downs, but John and my family, we go back over 20-some-odd years when he worked at WHS Radio. We were in the banking business, and we did a lot of advertising on the radio with WHS and John Asher. And we became good friends and just struck up a friendship, and it continued all the way until his passing. John was one of those people that loved the local horsemen. He rooted for the local horseman. He was in the paddock. Whenever we had a horse that ran, he would come down and ask if we liked it. Could he make a little wager on it? And just was rooting for us. And when we happened to win a race, he was the first one there with a smile on his face, greeting my parents and myself in the winner's circle. And I mean, he was the face of Churchill Downs, not only for Churchill Downs, the community of Louisville, but I think nationwide. You know, I have a lady that house sits for us that said to me today that she would like to watch the local horse racing coverage at Derby time because of John Asher. So, and she's knows very little bit about horse racing. So he touched everybody, and he was just a good friend to everybody and was rooting for everybody. And it is a sad day, and to think that John's not going to be there, and you know, with his smiling face greeting everybody.
That's the overlying element of this is that a familiarity, you know, the building has a certain special aura, but then, you know, the individuals that you get to know, and I'm glad you mentioned Scotty's passing. There's been so many. You think of Buckwheat. And Nick Zito's going to join us in a little bit, but there's those people that would greet you and that you just see in familiar places when you came, you know, especially someone like myself coming from the Northeast, and he was the welcome wagon, and it just he made
yeah,
you
was,
you know made you feel I welcome.
Was with, right, I was with I was happened to be at the Travers this weekend, and I was happened to run into Jill Byrne, and we talked about John Asher. You know, there's a lot of people at Churchill Downs that really care about racing, and their hearts into it. John was at the top of the list, and you know, and driving right now, I think about some of my memories with John, and I heard what Dale Romans, the kind words he had to say, and Darren Rogers, and Darren referred to him as he should be on the Mount Rushmore of Churchill Downs. I'll take a little bit farther. I think if there's a guy that's involved in racing that's not totally involved in racing but deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, there's one person that deserves it, because, you know, you think about the other racetracks throughout the country. Do they have a John Asher? Can you name a John Asher at California racetracks or New York or Florida? No. Everybody throughout the industry knows of John Asher. And, I mean, it just makes you smile. If you ever walked in his office, you sit down and talk to him, I don't know if you would stop paying attention to what he said because of all the paraphernalia that he would have around his office, the pictures, the bobbleheads, just how much he loved horse racing. It was just incredible, just his office, just to sit there and look at everything. You could spend hours like being in a museum in his office. And that's how much he cared for the game. And, you know, unfortunately, I've lost both of my parents within the last 5 years. I mean, I got the phone call, and he was at my parents' funeral, and he wanted to be there because of how much he respected my parents and our family. And whenever he had an opportunity to say anything about my parents and my family, it was just the kind, and you could feel it. It came from the heart, the words that he had to say about us. And he was not a 10. John was a 10+.
Richard, I appreciate it, and that's the I think so far when we think about the response and we read the tweets and the comments that are all over the place. His interest and what really felt sincere interest in how you were doing, and when he asked you, how are things going, and do you need anything? It wasn't claptrap. It wasn't just asking as a formality. He was so sincere about everything. He said and did, and that's a rare quality.
Well, yeah, he did. I'll tell you one last story is that his kids are around the same age as my kids, and they were involved in sports in school just like mine was. And he would always ask how my kids were doing, what they were doing, and he felt like my kids were his kids, and he always took an interest in asking, you know, what my kids were up to and where they're heading to college and what they're doing. And it just wasn't a day that I didn't run into John. He would ask me about, you know, how my family was doing. So he cared not only, you know, he cared about your family too. It went a lot deeper than just how are you doing, it's how's your family doing. And we would kid each other and tell stories about sports. So he was just a great guy. And it's going to be tough for Churchill Downs to replace a person like John. And everybody can be replaced, but this is going to be one of the tough ones for Churchill Downs and the community.
Very much. Well put. Richard, and safe travels.
I appreciate you having me on. And our condolences to the Asher family and the Harris family, because Churchill's had two losses in 2 days, and that's too many.
I appreciate this. Richard Klein, everyone. Richard, safe trip, and we'll look forward to seeing you this fall.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Richard Klein and the Klein family, that they themselves have done so much for Louisville. Would be an invaluable voice to add. We're going to hear from Shug McGahee and Nick Zito, Tom Leach and Billy Reed, among the broadcasters and journalists, Jeremy Plonk, and you heard Darren Rogers earlier. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was Jeremy and Darren that got those internships. Gives you a peek into, you know, how the relationships form. It was easy for John, though, because he wanted to see young people come into the game and succeed, and that just one aspect of why he's in everybody's hearts under these circumstances. Let's take the top of the hour break. Hour two, we're paying tribute to John Asher and so many people that will have nothing but kind words for John and what he meant to them. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective
time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.